This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Cody is back from his field trip. We had no other details about it. It was a field trip. People were confused if you took your UMKC class
on a field trip. It was for my daughter.
Okay. Were you at the zoo again?
No, it was a place called J.A. Biztown, similar to that of Exchange City.
Okay.
So I helped run the zoo.
So it was zoo related.
The Kansas City Zoo, believe it or not. I didn't go to the zoo. I was in charge of, well, I wasn't in charge of. The kids are in charge of the zoo. I just make sure that they stay on task. They have a CFO, a CEO, a vet. I don't know. They all had different jobs. So I went there with my kid, hung out. It honestly felt like more work than this job. Trying to keep just six kids on task, like they're working a job. That was far more work than I do any given day showing up to this job. I'll say that much. It was exhausting. By the time I got done, it was like 2 o'clock. I'm like, whew, I almost canceled class. I didn't, but I had to go teach after that. It's a full day of teaching for me, essentially. I don't envy you. Teachers, Lord's work. I don't know how you do it.
There was nothing interesting that happened.
Oh, there was one interesting thing, but I'm going to save it for a random question.
Okay.
A classic, am I the a-hole? I got to figure out if I did something. If I did something wrong.
What did you do to the kids?
I didn't do anything. Huh? I did not save my partner. There was another like adult volunteer.
Okay.
I did not save her from an awkward situation. And instead I.
Oh, you just let it play out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yep. Okay. When you hear it in the random question, you can tell me what exactly I'm supposed to do there. Okay. Cause I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but you know.
I'll be ready for that.
During the random question.
Well, welcome back. We think we might have a video stream up and running today. We'll see. 913-586-7965 is the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. Of course, final show before we get to Super Bowl Sunday, so we'll talk a ton about that throughout the day. It's the Fan Club Friday, brought to you by Jay Rieger & Co. And for the first time today, we will have Mac Morey joining us in a Fan Club Friday. That's right. Dusty and Mac just both quickly snapped their head like, what are you saying about me? Yeah, we're talking about Mac again. He will be in studio for a Fan Club Friday. On a Friday where it's nice weather, to get him to come back at 1 o'clock, I don't know what we did to bribe him, but he will be back at 1 o'clock on a Friday when he's technically off.
Yeah, what? I mean, that's why we don't ask the morning show people very often. Kind of feel bad. You get done at 10 o'clock on a Friday, you want to be free? I don't want to go on Carrington's show at 4 o'clock on a Friday. I want to be free, right? It has nothing to do, you know. I understand the desire for the freedom, that's all. So we appreciate Mac giving us some time. He It's nice weather, too, so he probably doesn't want to. In addition to that, I imagine you'd rather just be outside today, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm excited for the next couple days. Of course, great weather in Kansas City. But let's get into Super Bowl 60 coming up on Sunday. And we've already discussed it throughout the week, just kind of the lack of buzz around the game, not just in Kansas City, but kind of since
it feels like it's growing
nationally, you know, based off of the quarterback matchups, I think. And I think there's just not a ton of intriguing storylines around this particular game. Most of the stories this week have been around Tom Brady saying he's not rooting for a team, around the Pro Football Hall of Fame snubs and NFL honor voter last night. We'll get to who voted Justin Herbert for MVP. Just crazy. Like, that's the kind of stuff that has been more interesting than anything game related. But now that you've had a week to take a look and injury reports have come out and it sounds like everybody's good to go, despite a little scare with the Seattle Seahawks secondary and, you know, Drake May who had a little shoulder injury or whatever. What's your feeling about Seattle and New England heading in? Because clearly the Seattle Seahawks have been playing better football during the postseason run. The Patriots were dominant during the regular season. And the postseason, their defense has stepped up. Their offense has left a lot to be desired. Drake May has left a lot to be desired. And so if we go in, you take a look at this game, I truly think it's pretty simple for this one. And maybe I'm oversimplifying it. Truly, whichever quarterback does not have multiple turnovers or a turnover, that team's probably winning the game. Like, I just, right now, who's making more mistakes? Well, it'd be Drake May is more likely to be in that spot. And I just think offensively, they're going to go up against another top-tier defense. So why do I think suddenly the Patriots' offense is just going to find what they had in the regular season? I think Seattle's defense will make it very difficult. And that's why I think it's a lower-scoring Super Bowl. I know that we can get into the betting angles later, but I think it goes under the total. And I think it's just a little bit lower-scoring football game. Maybe you think that actually favors the Patriots, but I don't know, you know, trust-wise. Oddly enough, I trust Sam Darnold more in this game than Drake May, and I know that seems crazy.
Look, in the long run, do I think that Drake May has the better career? No, of course he's going to have a better career. That's just the way that this works. It's not hard to figure out. Sam Darnold had a few years go down and change that we know that work looks a little bit different. But in this case, I obviously think that this would have been a better year for Drake May, was a better year for Drake May. But I agree with you in the Super Bowl end. I've also been way off on this season at every step.
Been a weird year.
Preseason predictions, wrong. Midseason predictions, wrong. Playoff predictions, wrong again. And now we're in the Super Bowl, and I am almost borderline firmly convinced that the Seahawks are the better team by like 7 to 10 points. So I should probably just assume that that's not right, but it's not going to stop me from, I guess, truly thinking what I believe, which is the Seahawks are the more complete team in every single area, I think, except corner and under, I would say, a season-long perspective quarterback. But for the one-game perspective and the recency bias and the way that they're playing, I give the edge to Darnold in this game too. And so as we get closer to this game on Sunday, I'm having a hard time shaking the fact that I like the Seahawks pretty easily, I guess, in this game. Maybe it's just my hatred of the Patriots. Is that a bad way to think about it?
Well, there's definitely, you're wanting New England to lose. I get that as well. But I truly just think watching what we've watched throughout the last month plus or so of the season, the Seattle Seahawks have been a better team. It doesn't guarantee a win. This is why we watch the games. And if it was so easy, we'd all be betting a ridiculous amount of money on Seattle if we thought it was such a sure thing. We clearly don't think it to that extent. But yeah, I have not been impressed offensively with Drake May in the postseason. And so in this game against that defense, why do I think that now they're just going to unlock something again? They couldn't do it against Houston.
I mean,
couldn't do it against Denver.
Worst teams win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I can't rule
out.
Think
the Patriots aren't a bad team. I'm not.
Yeah. The worst team of the two.
They aren't a bad team. They didn't, you know, there's nothing fluky about what they've been doing. I know people want to point to the schedule stuff. That's fine. But, like, they still had to go and win in the postseason. Did they get some quarterback breaks? Like, did their defense not have to deal with, you know, with top tier quarterbacks? They didn't have to play Josh Allen in the playoffs. They didn't play Mahomes. They didn't play Burrow. They didn't play Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. That's true. But, you know, now they're going to go up against Sam Darnold, who oddly enough is the best quarterback of the bunch they have faced during the postseason, the way he's playing. I find it hard to believe that they are going to go win this football game. I don't know what the atmosphere crowd split's going to be. You would think there's going to be way more Seattle fans there, just given the fact that Seattle, San Francisco, not exactly the same distance as going from Foxborough,
literally
Massachusetts.
Cross-country.
And so we'll see how that impacts things as well. The nerves. I do believe, you know, if we're looking at a better two, I think there's a real chance both quarterbacks have a turnover in the game, though. But if what you tell me one is doesn't have a turnover, that team probably is feeling really, really good about their situation.
Or has the one big special teams play. I mean,
Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. I told you the other, I don't know, maybe earlier this week, I was saying I like him for an anytime touchdown bet.
Oh, okay.
Are you going further than that?
Yeah, I have a fly. I have
it was
three
like Monday or Tuesday. We were
three different MVP bets is what I have.
And you have Rashid Shaheed?
He's the flyer. A lot has to happen.
What is he, 50 to 1?
Basically, 45, yeah.
Okay.
The script for him is pretty obvious. At some point, he returns a kick and then one other touchdown, and it's a low-scoring game. So Sam Darnold has one touchdown pass in a low-scoring game. Rashid Shaheed takes one back to the house as well. So Shaheed has two touchdowns and an otherwise, you know, normal average QB performance from Darnold. That's the path. It's pretty narrow. That's why, again, JSN and Darnold are the more likely scenarios. That's why their odds are a lot better. Someone did ask on the text line. They said, serious question. Also, the least hype Super Bowl since when? It's a good question. Well, obviously, the last couple of years, you've had the Chiefs dynasty run. So it's got to go further back. Man, I'm trying to think of some of the storylines. It's easy to nitpick now. I mean, the Super Bowl 50, Broncos-Panthers, did that one have a ton of hype going? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know, but Cam Newton was at least still like an absolute dude. MVP. And Peyton Manning at the end of his career. We're just going to rule that out?
No, I'm just talking out loud. I think that one certainly had more hype. So the least hype Super Bowl, man. Giants-Patriots way back when was the perfect season for the Patriots, so they
so
can't
you had
do that.
That.
Steelers-Cardinals, that was Kurt Warner, Santonio Holmes. Ended up being a great. I'm not saying what was a good game. I'm saying going in, not what ended up being a good game.
I think probably since, and look, Flacco won it, so we think that way then, but like Flacco 49ers, I mean, that do anything for you?
But the Flacco storyline was fascinating that you guys remember how awesome he was in the playoffs, became a great story, and it was a really, I think, intriguing matchup because of how well he was playing. I don't know. There's definitely recency bias.
You can definitely feel it, though. Like, you can absolutely feel it. Everybody looking at and staring at this game, and I'm not going as far to be like, it's just that they miss the Chiefs. It's just that they miss a storyline. Because as you go through all the coverage, all the national coverage, everything that's being talked about this game, I feel like at least 50 to 60% of all talk surrounding the Super Bowl from any content platform is Bill Belichick didn't get in the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady didn't get in the Hall of Fame. We didn't. The Patriots and Seahawks, the last time they played each other. Like all these old storylines. They're not actively talking about JSN's emergence as maybe the best wide receiver in football nearly as much. Or, you know, Sam Darnold's. Because Sam Darnold should be one of the most, like, I would argue more interesting than Flacco. Not that it happened in a shorter time frame, but like more interesting in the sense that he turned his entire career around, not just got hot for a postseason run.
Yeah, Darnold is a great story. It's just
that's the best story.
I think some of it is, and we can find out over the next couple of years. That was some of the conversation we did have earlier. Is I don't think anybody actually believes these two teams are now going on runs. And now most teams don't go on dynastic runs. That's why they're dynasties. That's why it's special when we talk about what the Patriots did. When we talk about what the Chiefs just did. It's not something that you don't just hand it off from the Chiefs dynasty to now Seattle or to now New England. And if there was ever another team that's going to be a dynasty, I don't think anybody actually believes that either of these teams are capable of that. And that's probably why these feel like one-offs for both teams. As Bink and I talked about yesterday, I think, you know, over the next 5 years, it's more likely New England gets back than Seattle.
Oh, sure.
But I don't know if anybody believes that suddenly New England's right back in the Super Bowl next year. Patriots fans can use that as fuel all they want, but I think that's the common thought around it. And then I also think, you know, the fun for fans, you know, we were not in New Orleans last year, but judging from whether it was the morning guys going or just other media people that you and I know, everybody has kind of agreed that this year's setup, even out there, while, you know, Levi's Stadium, I'm sure they'll do a great job on game day. In general, the fact that it's all spread out the way it is, it doesn't have the same energy. They're having stuff in San Jose. They're having stuff in Santa Clara. They're having stuff in San Francisco versus one site in New Orleans last year, which apparently was epic, where you could feel the energy in New Orleans. Or, you know, we obviously were in Vegas, where you can sense it. In Vegas is, of course, an entertainment capital of the world. And like,
sure,
San Francisco / Santa Clara, I don't know if it's the best site for a Super Bowl. This is not me like anti-San Francisco. I'm just this is more of a, for this event, I don't know if it's good.
I just think it's hard to be like, I understand like the business idea of it. Like, let's spread it out. Let's make it a California thing. We all get to own it. We all get to put different stuff. But when you put media night a 2-hour shuttle ride away from where most people are staying, Well, that's how you end up with 40% of the attendance media-wise that you would normally end up with, which means less people posting about it, less buzz, less clips out of it, less just like, I can't escape it from my feed. On Monday night, and I was busy, I think, a little bit, but on Monday night, had I gone on Twitter, I'm telling you right now, I could have easily missed the Pro Bowl games, which they were robbing from themselves a little bit too, and media night. Well, I could have easily missed it. I could have been scrolling through and found all kinds of different news, notes, storylines that had nothing to do with that. When you have 6,000 people covering it, it's hard for my feed not to be that, not to feel that in some way. And so they just run into this. From the game perspective, I still just think the Seahawks are the better team. I just really do. The one other advantage we didn't talk about, in fairness, though, is I'd still give the edge to Vrabel in the coaching spot. And I don't want to make it seem like that's nothing. And Mike McDonald certainly earned his right of thinking of him as a top head coach. I just know more about Vrabel, at least for now, you know.
Yeah, they I think, you know, much different personality. Mike Vrabel, we've known for a long time. I do think Mike Vrabel is one of the best in the league. Mike McDonald looks like he's emerging as like the next great defensive coach in this league. A guy that, you know, we talk about Sean McVay, the offensive genius. Feels like Mike McDonald, younger coach as well. We might be talking about him for years and years as, oh my gosh, this guy just is a defensive wizard and this is what he does, right? I mean, I have questions though, as we discussed yesterday. Clint Kubiak, your OC, leaves you. He's going to be the head coach in Vegas. So now, who's your OC hire? That's going to be the biggest reason why. It was one of the reasons why yesterday I said I don't think Seattle is going to go on just a multi-year run here.
It's hard to imagine.
Their division's tough, and they're going to lose their play caller.
Whereas New England will keep it easy there.
Yeah, and Stafford is likely going to be back next year after his comments last night.
Yeah, so like I don't know. I mean, some of that is just our same belief, though. Mm-hmm. Is that Sam Darnold is still, in some ways, not the old Sam Darnold, but a middle-tier quarterback with limitations. I don't know who was saying it. It was probably one of the national commentators earlier this week. They were still blaming like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen for kind of like ruining quarterback development in a way that teams were no longer willing to accept a quarterback in the 10 to 12 range and were throwing those quarterbacks away. The ones that used to just stay forever for the franchises and kind of grow with them. And they were throwing those guys away in the attempt to get, you know, the Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, like one of the dudes, one of the five people who might be available in the league. Well, maybe Darnold can reverse that trend. You know, this idea that is same thing applies. Good coach, good roster, capable quarterback. You can go on a run. The problem is that the guy on the other side of the field is we drafted an elite level guy and we think he's going to be one of those guys, even if he's not that now, and we're going to take him to the next level. So it creates this other issue. And so I don't think there's any like simple solution for it. And it's made the game less interesting. And yeah, maybe just like personality wise, it's, you know, they're not Baker or Stafford or Mahomes or, you know, Drake May and Sam Darnold. They both seem kind of like quiet spoken and doesn't add any energy to the thing. That's all.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we will talk about the Chiefs a little bit. And if there was an extension for Rashee Rice, what would it even look like? Joel Corey was on with the afternoon show earlier in the week, so we'll get into that and some perspective on it. Even though I have no interest in extending him this offseason, I think that'd be foolish, but we'll figure out what an extension could look like from Joel Corey in just a bit. Yesterday, we discussed the news around Framber Valdez signing that three-year deal, the top left-handed pitcher on the market, signing that deal with the Detroit Tigers. And then also late in the show yesterday, there was the news that Skubal won his arbitration hearing.
Yeah.
And so I think the Tigers clearly signed Valdez, not just for 2026, but knowing that in all likelihood, he'll be their ace after this year because Skubal will be elsewhere. They're not going to keep both. There's no way. And my guess is there's also probably some animosity, would be my speculation, between Skubal and the Detroit Tigers at this point in time.
Yeah.
The way that arbitration.
Good for him, by the way, for winning.
For sure.
It's technically what the rule says, that he gets to compare himself to other people.
Are you with me, though, with the division? Because I asked Bink this yesterday. The Tigers are clearly the team to beat in the division. Hard to argue. But I also think after that, the Royals are the second best team heading in. Now, second best team, and they're also slash Guardians. Like, I think they're very, very close. And in the AL Central, despite Valdez and Skubal, I don't believe that the Tigers are just running away with the division. They should be favorites, and they probably will win the division on paper. But as we all know, this is a division that has shown that teams have had late collapses before. The Tigers, most notably last year, the Guardians went on a crazy run. Like, This is not the AL East where you got to get to 95 wins, in my opinion, to win it.
So when I power rank it, before the Framber Valdez signing yesterday, when I that happened right at the end of the show, or is that the night before?
At the end of the show, it was Scooble yesterday. Valdez, we had the whole show.
Last night. So when, or 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
When that took place and I saw the news.
And by the way, is it Framber or Fromber?
Fromber?
I don't know. Maybe I've been saying it wrong. I don't know. Either way, I thought it was Framber Valdez. I think it doesn't matter.
It's fine. One of the two ways that Valdez, we'll just say that way moving forward. Before the Valdez signing, had you make me power rank the AL Central, I would have told you I thought the Royals were the most complete team. Despite some of their issues in the outfield and despite some of the other holes in their roster. Because the Tigers are not a perfectly constructed team. They're not. Not because they started off hot last year, but because I thought they outperformed the level of talent they possessed on their roster for a part last year. And they weren't the bad version that was falling apart at the end of the season, but they weren't that version that you saw for the first 100 games either. And so I thought they lied more in the middle. And the Royals, for once again, an inability to start well as a team, was more like what they were the rest of the season following April, just from a talent perspective. Obviously, with Valdez, I think the Tigers are the best team. But I think it's Tigers with the Royals being a decently close second. And I would put him right back in the top spot. I'll tell you right now. If Scooble's traded tomorrow, and he's a Met tomorrow, I think the Royals are the best team in the division. The Guardians did very little, in my opinion, to make a real difference from where they stood last year. And they were obviously the team who ended up going on the run and getting hot. And they always seem to outperform whatever version of themselves they are. So to their credit, even if I think the Royals have more talent every year, they get more out of their talent every year somehow in Cleveland. Because the Royals are the second most talented team in the division right now. And I think there's a gapping there before you get to 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, prior to the Tigers making the signing, I'm with you. I thought the Royals, while there was disappointment to a certain extent among fans that they didn't go and make the bigger outfield splash, I do think like the Twins didn't do a damn thing. Neither did the Guardians. I'm with you. The White Sox made some moves, but we'll see how much closer to the pack they got. And the Tigers really hadn't done much until now with Valdez being the signing. So I'm with you there. I think the issue still and where there's frustration is that if we all agree that nobody else really did anything until the Valdez move, you had an opportunity to put your stamp and put yourself as maybe the favorite in the division. And
they
didn't do that.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they didn't get better? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, as we've said over and over, I think they got better with Collins and Lane Thomas and bringing Matt Strom back to the bullpen. I thought that was a big signing as well. They didn't get the big punch you were looking for and that fans were looking for. And so if we're sitting here, I will say, you know, in June, Cody, and the Tigers are out in front a little bit and the Royals are still struggling at the plate and, you know, Lane Thomas is not bouncing back and there's regression from some guys.
Yep.
The criticism will be 100% warranted towards the front office, towards ownership. And also if it's hitting towards Alex Zumwalt again, they chose to kind of run it back a little bit and add a few incremental pieces that I think incrementally improve the outfield. And that's what they're banking on. And they're banking on, of course, Cags bouncing back and figuring it out. I guess there's nothing really to bounce back from, but just figuring it out. And that's going to dictate more than even what the Tigers do. As much as you can be upset about Valdez, it's truly just going to be more about, do the Royals get some things going that they didn't have last year? I don't think Valdez will be why the Royals lose the division is what I'm saying.
I did see, was there Royals controversy today over dollar, like Buck Knight?
So people were looking at the promo calendar for the Royals. We all know, like, if anybody's been here for many years.
I saw that CAG bobblehead. That looked pretty cool. Did you see that?
There's some cool promos, yeah.
Yeah.
But we all know, like, Buck Knight's a very popular thing. They've probably had it for, feels like 15 years, maybe more than that. I don't know. And it used to be, you know, dogs and peanuts and soft drink, right?
Yeah, sure.
Isn't it dogs, peanuts, and soft drink?
Yeah.
I think that's what was a dollar or whatever.
Yeah.
So on the promo calendar, people notice that they're doing dollar dogs, but it's just dollar dog night. Not Buck Night. It's on Tuesdays, the first Tuesday.
No peanuts anymore?
First Tuesday home game of every month during the season.
Oh, that's also less.
Is dollar dog night.
And first Tuesday home game of the month. So like five times we get dollar dog night?
That's my understanding. That's what people were talking about this morning on social.
All right, in fairness, that's kind of lame. I mean, we don't have to throw like a huge fit, but that's kind of lame, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the promo calendar. It's not this. Dollar Dog Night, Tuesday, April 21st is the first one, I believe. Yeah.
So there's one a month, and it's only dogs.
Yeah.
Damn. That's tough. Meanwhile, whatever. Tell me more of the City Connect crew neck.
I saw that.
See, now we're talking.
April 24th, Friday night against the Angels. First 10,000. There's no image of it, though. It's City Connect crew neck, but we don't have an image of it yet.
Do we know what the City Connect is yet?
They got new ones this year, but I don't know if we have.
That might be why we don't know what it is.
They're probably waiting to unveil it. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, no. It's a risk.
New one.
Because the other ones have grown on me. I like the way the new ones look, and I think that they're one of the better teams' City Connect jerseys. The new ones, who knows what those are going to look like?
Yeah, I don't know.
They could be so much worse. I could be back at Rue Night, it looks like, in April.
No, there's some pretty creative promos that they got going on. Nickelodeon Night Slime jersey.
The Cags Bat on Fire one is cool. I saw the Bobby Wood Jr. like essentially America one, which looked cool. Like the bobbleheads, obviously, it's hard for them not to look, you know, for the most part, those work and will work.
Rue Night, Mark Turgeon's probably going to be out there.
He definitely should.
He should throw out the first pitch if they're smart.
Oh, yeah.
I'll catch it. Mark, I got it.
So gosh.
What?
Why do you think you're catching? Why do you think you're catching opening pitch?
I'm teaching UMKC. I graduated from there.
They should let you run in the hot dog race on UMKC night. That should be your moment.
Not against students, though. They're too young. I can't be risking that. I need the elderly to run against.
Clearly, the City Connect launch is a big deal for them because there is at least three promos that are City Connect related this year.
Yeah, a towel, scarf, shirt, a crew neck sweatshirt.
And a scarf, yeah.
So prepare yourself accordingly.
Anyway, yes, you were asking the question. Yes, people on social media today were bummed out to see
they
that.
Took away Buck Knight?
Dollar dog once a month.
R.I.P. Buck Knight. Damn. It's tough living, man.
I told you this. I'm not a huge, like, I won't just go and get hot dogs randomly, but at a ballpark, man, the hot dog tastes 1,000 times better. I don't know what it is.
Oh, different vibe.
I can't wait to be on the weather we're getting Street. Monday. Imagine this Monday if it was opening day, 70 degrees. Oh,
eating
man.
A hot, like, 75 degrees, eating a hot dog, drinking a beer at a ball game is how I assumed Andy Dufresne felt when he emerged from that pipe.
He's ripping off
his shirt. Freedom. It feels like pure freedom, doesn't it? Just having a beer, eating a hot dog, sitting outside watching baseball. Very Americana. That's what it is, Gold. You just feel free. It's the right time to eat a hot dog. Anyway, I guess we can say goodbye to Buck Knight later in the show. Have a funeral.
All right, up next, let's talk about Rashee Rice. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, gave a projection on what an extension could look like. Would you even want them doing that anyway? And we'll react to some of the stories out of NFL honors last night, including a former chief picking up an award that cost Cody money.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Don't forget, whenever we talk some baseball here the next couple weeks, spring training right around the corner. Our spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, the best deal on airport parking. We were just talking about the AL Central a little bit. Vern is headed out to Arizona on Monday. He'll begin the coverage. Going to start having him on a weekly basis each and every Wednesday as baseball season is basically here starting next week with spring training. First spring training game coming up on Friday the 20th. So the weather, all of it, everything's looking up, man. Everything's looking up as we get closer to being out at Kauffman Stadium. Of course, the game's right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. But I do want to briefly talk offseason for the Chiefs, and not even so much whether or not you would hand out an extension, because I think the answer should be absolutely no. An extension for Rashee Rice, based off of where things have transpired and what has transpired, I should say. It's a contract year for him. I hope it leads to big production. I think it actually will this year. But what would an extension even look like, whether it's in Kansas City or elsewhere? Joel Corey, former NFL agent, we've had him on in the past. He was on the afternoon show earlier this week, and here's what he said a Rice extension could look like.
If you extend him, you give him the Tyreek Hill treatment. Because of all the off-the-field issues, that Tyreek Hill deal was not structured in the most conventional manner. It was a team-friendly deal where if you had continued missteps, then you could exit the deal without a lot of cap pain. He's got to be looking north of Jameson Williams from Detroit, and that was a $26 million per year deal.
Let's call it $28 million a year.
He said north of Jameson Williams, who was 3 for 83.
So let's call it three for 90 or 3 for 92, something like that. I told you what's going to happen. He's going to go out next year. He's going to have a 1,200-yard season, best year of his career, and fans will completely flip and forget about some of the stuff. And we'll say it's crazy if you don't bring him back. But the only way I'm interested in that scenario is going to be, as he mentioned with the Tyreek Hill stuff, it's got to have so much in that deal that protects the Chiefs as a franchise that if he has an off-season issue or any issue, I should say, I'm out of the deal and I don't owe you much.
Then I can get on board. But if it's a three-year deal and it's all just, to walk if you get in trouble.
But it's also a business for both sides. And so if Rice goes out and does have the big season that I think he's going to have, well, then he might say, well, I don't need to do that. Somebody else will sign me and may not have to have the same protection. You know what I mean? Like he'll be a free agent. You know, they're not going to tag him. So he's not a first-round pick. So there's no fifth-year option we're talking about here, right? He was a second-round pick. So it's fascinating.
Tag him offers you no protection, so there's no point in doing that.
Do you think there's what percentage chance would you put on the Chiefs before week one of the season?
30. They love trouble players.
You think for before the season? You think it's that high? Okay,
they love I'm lower than trouble that. Players. Now here's the thing. I think it would take him Here's the thing. Like what Joel Corey's saying, I think is his number. If he waits out the year, performs well, and then gets his check. If he signs now, I think he might come in south or right at the Jameson Williams
number. Okay, so 25 or 26 a year.
If he will allow me to write into the contract, if you get in any off-the-field trouble, we got to rip this thing up. You are not a cap hit for us. You are not a cap problem for us. Then I probably would be interested because he's got to stay healthy. I get it to a point as well. That's another part of his game that we probably have under-discussed. Because he keeps missing games, even when he's healthy, he eventually misses games for injury. I know one was a catastrophic injury, but he missed some time last year due to injury too, even after the suspension. If he'll let me just auto-protect myself, he's a good enough wide receiver to sign. 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards. He is probably in that range, Gold, if he ever plays a full 17-game season. He would have, based on yards per game this year, been like a 1,250-yard wide receiver. The year before, had he played 17 games, he would have been like a 1,300-yard wide receiver. And I understand in both of those years, it's a limited sample size due to the fact that He missed a ton of games. But even if he's an 1,100-yard guy, those are typically guys you sign, especially if they don't take a wide receiver at 9, because then otherwise you got no long-term outlook. Because right now, I'm even less interested. How about this? Despite no off-field trouble, I'm even less interested in the possibility of signing Xavier Worthy to an extension right now than I am Rashee Rice. Worthy's never come close to the production Rice has.
Yeah, he's also only played 2 years, you know what I mean? And was hurt.
But so,
Worthy, you got a couple more years till you have to make that decision. I hear
for
you.
Sure.
I think this is also, this goes back into the, and someone's correct on the text line, I agree. You know, you, how do you handle the McDuffie stuff? Because it will have an impact on both. You know, if you're an organization that is wanting to keep McDuffie long term, and we know that's going to be top corner money, are you really going to be able to pay both? I don't think so. And so in that regard, you know, who do you want to give the money to? I mean, there's no question on who I trust more to give the money to. That's not even up to debate.
Yeah, that's by all definitely accounts, the argument by all I was
accounts,
just making.
By all accounts, Trent McDuffie is, you know, is a model citizen and the type of guy you want around your organization, and he's a hell of a football player. Rashee Rice could have a hell of a football season coming up, but, I mean, it's no secret. Do I trust you? Hell no.
What is, I guess that's the other part with Trent McDuffie. It's like highest paid, because he'll make more than $28 million a year, but wide receiver is still a higher paid position. So you get less good of a wide receiver.
For sure. I mean, if Jamison Williams is getting $26 million a year now, nobody thinks he's a top 10 receiver in football or anything like that.
Yeah. No. I don't know.
He's not any. I mean, Jamison Williams, I have to think about
top
it. Is he 30? Is he 40?
Yeah, okay. Same numbers. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think I could safely name 20 wide receivers without too much trouble that I would take over Jamison Williams. And so I can't get the internet to work, so I can't even look up his contract.
Yeah, we're having some. I'll try to pull it up. We're having some Wi-Fi issues
but
in the building.
Trent McDuffie, yeah, and now that's affecting the stream, even though we think we fixed the computer problem. So
Jameson,
apologies to those of you on the stream.
Jamison Williams, 3-year, $80 million contract with $15 million signing bonus, $66.5 million guaranteed is what it looks like.
But again, those guarantees get washed away if he gets in trouble. And so that in the Rice case, I think you try to make it work, and you go into that, trying to make it work in that capacity. And so I got to figure out whether or not they would entertain it. But that's the problem. It's like you almost still have to kind of take the risk. Cool, because what is the number? Or does he not want that language? If Rashee Rice gets in no trouble this year, and which is an ask apparently, if he gets in no trouble this year and has the 1,200 yards he's been pacing for the last 2 years, not the craziest thing. This is not like I'm pie in the sky and I'm pretending an optimistic thing that doesn't exist. Let's say he does that. Well, then he might not want that contract language, like you said. And then you run into a whole different issue, because if I'm the Chiefs, he's not getting that contract from me unless he agrees. If you get in trouble, we get out.
Well, there's no way. If he were to get a deal before the start of the season, that's the only way that deal happens, I think. You know, this is the dice roll that you would be taking. Could you get him cheaper and potentially with the language you want in it if you give him an extension before the season? We all know he's got, you know, what is it, Cody, $1 million civil suit he needs to pay out still.
Yeah, he's going
to
want a contract.
And being a second round pick, it's not like this guy is just swimming in cash right now. So, you know, would he be interested in getting the deal done quicker? That's the only reason why you have it at 30%. The only reason why I have it at like a 10 to 20% chance that they do it before the season is because of the incentive that he also has. I don't think I can, as an organization, trust to do that. I think I'm willing to have the dice roll of playing it out the other way, which make him prove to me he can have another calendar year of no problems, also be healthy, also be productive, and then we'll talk and see where we're at a year from now.
I can't even imagine the structure I would accept in an off-season signing, but it would be less. It would be like 3 for $75 million, and only 1 year of that is guaranteed, and if you get in trouble, not even that year is guaranteed. Look, I mean, legitimately, not longer than 3 years, because now it's the same problem when players who get in off-field situations more than once, more than twice. It's like, I'm not asking you to be a good wide receiver. I'm not only asking you to be a good wide receiver for 3 years. I'm asking you to be a good citizen. Like, and based on the early part of this, that's been a challenge for you.
I think that's something he's just going to have to deal with. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm any team, like, I'm probably wanting to include that language in there, and he's just going to have to live with it and prove that through the entire, like, if the Chiefs offer him 3 for $75 million and the entire thing that you said, Cody, Rashee should take that and be good with it and take it as a motivating factor. Like, hey, I am going to be better. I'm going to show you that I'm better, so that at the end of this 3 years, whether it's with you guys or somebody else, I can get another contract that's roughly around a similar sort of deal by the time whatever age he's going to be then. Like, being able to, he's made his bed. at this point by how he's acting, he's got to live with it. And I think that knowing that and recognizing that is part of the battle, instead of just trying to fight for every single penny and dollar, hoping that some team is going to give it to you.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to misrepresent. I think maybe it was Ryan Clark, but it was one former teammate. This is always the issue too. It's like, if you can't get in trouble and you got $1 million, what are you going to do with 75? What are you going to do with 30? Like, and this goes back to like, when yeah, I think it was Clark, who was like, don't pay Antonio Brown. Yeah. That guy?
Yeah, he's,
you're going to
yeah.
give that guy a big pile of money? Yeah. Seems like a risk, you know? Like,
yeah, it was that example. Exactly. That's exactly who he was talking about, was Antonio Brown at the time.
Yeah, so like, you just got to be smart with it and careful with it. Meanwhile, last night, the NFL Honors Awards. I want to start off by saying, screw you, Joe Tooney. Now, I'm just mad at him because he cost me money.
I told you you weren't going to cash your ticket, Cody.
I know, but I made that bet in August.
You're
and
mad
I
at
was
Joe
hopeful.
Tooney.
Cody
no,
had,
I'm not mad
Cody
at Joe
had
Tooney.
A bet on.
I'm actually happy for Joe Tooney.
Cody had a bet on Creed Humphrey to win Protector of the Year. And I told you were getting your hopes up.
Where did he finish? Did they,
I do not know
out?
That, actually. I do not know that. That's a good question. I mean, Penei Sewell and Joe Tooney, one of those two guys was winning that award. Ends up being Joe Tooney. The only thing I wonder with that award, and it's great, they have an award that recognizes offensive linemen now. Good for them. And it's probably something that they absolutely
time, yeah.
should have. It is about time. I do wonder if that award, and eventually this will help Creed down the road, but right now it doesn't. It feels like that's the award, just like all pro for center and for offensive line, that award's just going to be given to the guy that everybody, the name people recognize, like, oh, and he was on a good team? Yeah. Like,
on a
feels
good team,
like
it might be the
on a good team, and we know the name, and he's been in the league a while.
And his pro Boom. Football focus grade is good. Like, truthfully, they're going to care about stuff like that for that award because there's not much of a choice. I will say, and I don't want to spend like a ton of time on this because I think I can't believe that it became a storyline. The Chiefs trading Joe Tooney had nothing to do with this year's team success. That was a long-term approach to the team. I don't care still, even after he won Protector of the Year, that they made the move from Joe Tooney. Kingsley did fine. Their offensive line did fine. And they were saying, we'd rather pay a 24-year-old Trey Smith than a 33-year-old Joe Tooney. You and I, even at the time of the trade, said, we still think that Joe Tooney's probably the best guard in football.
Yeah.
Even though they were making trades. I understand they only moved up 10 spots in the third round.
They got Noel Williams, actually. That was the Noel Williams pick, I think.
Yeah, if I make it Joe Tooney for Noel Williams, does it sound like maybe you'd still take it? I just don't care that Joe Tooney won Protected of the Year as it relates to their
No,
trade.
Congrats to him. It resurfaced because with the award last night, there was some national pundits, I guess you could say, that were saying, man, the Chiefs got fleeced in that trade. And I think there's some Chiefs fans that agree. And you and I are on the same page with this one. Joe Tooney is a hell of a football player. We knew it when the Chiefs traded him. They also don't have a quarterback on a rookie contract like the Chicago Bears do. They were willing to give him, remember, an extension. He got traded and he got an extension with Chicago. That was part of the decision with that trade. He got an extension. They chose to give an extension to Trey Smith. They had already spent resources on Kingsley as a left tackle. They move him to left guard. They weren't going to extend Joe Tooney and let Trey Smith walk in that scenario.
Yeah.
And they couldn't keep both because their quarterback's not under a rookie contract. It's one of those trades. It made sense for Chicago. It was great for them. The Chiefs, it's a move that they needed to make as well. We don't have to act like the Chiefs
misevaluated.
If Joe Tooney was on the team this year, the Chiefs aren't suddenly a 12-win football team or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. So props to Joe Tooney. Props to Chicago. Good trade for them. I think the Chiefs trade still absolutely made sense. This year turned out to have a ton of issues. Joe Tooney could have been around. It wouldn't have changed anything.
I got to say, the New England week of stay losing in awards-related categories was pretty funny. So no Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame, no Bill Belichick in the Hall of Fame yet. And then their guy, Drake May, went up against Matt Stafford for the MVP and lost.
I got no issue with Stafford winning MVP.
Look, it was a close race. It was going to come down to a 50-50 shot. It was the closest MVP race in a really long time. I don't see why anyone would take issue with the idea that it was a close race and one guy won it. It was Matthew Stafford. Yeah. The issue is that everyone wanted to start making it about Sam Munson giving a first place vote, not to Matt Stafford and not to Drake May, but to Justin Herbert instead. Explaining his reasoning on social media last night is, had Matt Stafford had Justin Herbert's offensive line, he would have been trash. For the 2 weeks, he said that Stafford's offensive line looked like that. He looked like trash, and so Justin Herbert deserves more credit and was more valuable to his team because of the amount of winning he did in place of it. While on its premise, I don't disagree that Justin Herbert did more with less offensive line-wise or did more with less than the wide receiver. MVP is still a counting category, you know? you still have to put up touchdowns, put up yards, put up wins. Like, those things do still matter in the end, don't they? I mean, that's the issue with Herbert for MVP.
So, well, and also seeing how tight the race was, it made a difference. I mean, Matthew Stafford had 24 first place votes with 366 points. Drake May had 23 first place votes, 361. So the difference was the one vote. Josh Allen still got two first place votes. Christian McCaffrey did not get first place votes, but he finished fourth. Trevor Lawrence finished fifth. Justin Herbert getting the other first place vote is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it makes no sense. And I understand, again, I guess props to Sam Munson for putting his name on it at least.
Oh, immediately.
But he had that tweet drafted, ready to roll right when the award was announced, almost like he wanted, like, I don't know. It seems like there was also attention seeking a little bit with the four different posts he made about it last night. I'm sorry. This is like, and I've defended Justin Herbert more than others in this city, I think. But at the same time, he has no business getting a first place MVP vote this season. By his logic, Patrick Mahomes actually should have received a couple MVP votes. You know why? Because we saw the value of Mahomes once he was out. We saw what happened when Mahomes wasn't playing.
He's got blown out.
They didn't win
game.
A single football game, and the offense was a complete joke. You know, we think the offense was bad with him. They were average. They were horrendous when he was out of the game and what he masked. So by that, if Sam Munson's out here voting for Justin Herbert, somebody should have just voted for Patrick Mahomes while they were at it as well.
This just kind of comes back to the disconnect with Justin Herbert, with football evaluators who evaluated based on talent and ones who evaluated based on result. And in reality, Justin Herbert's talent is undeniable. He can make throws very few people can make on this planet. He makes, he is obviously a very good quarterback. The numbers, other than one single season, his second year in the NFL, the numbers have never been super impressive. They are, you know, mid-20s to low-20s touchdowns. They are low teens, sometimes lower than any. Only three interceptions last year, in fairness, and seven the year before. But only 20 touchdowns that year, only 26 touchdowns this year. He looks the part of quarterback. He shrinks in big moments. He loses big games. He loses big games he needs to win in big moments. And that does matter for quarterback play. This is the Trevor Lawrence thing. And Trevor Lawrence has now accomplished more than Justin Herbert has ever accomplished in his career from like a trophy standpoint. And that's crazy. But it can't just be that you like the way they throw a football and it looks good. There are other things that come into play outside of that. And Drake May and Stafford possessed those things more.
Last night, so John Hamm was hosting the NFL Honors. Bashaun Robinson was DJing during the event, which is pretty cool. And then you had Tiffany Haddish announcing the Coach of the Year Award. And look, we have drops all the time. We mispronounce stuff all the time. That's why we have some drops. And you misspeak, it happens. But I must say, if you're announcing an award, your one job is to know the name of like the three or four nominees and how you say it.
Not Adele, Nazim, or whatever, John Travolta said the one time.
This was hilarious last night.
25 AP Coach of the Year is Mike Vrabel.
And then she said it again.
Mike Vrabel!
Because then she was like, Mike Vrabel's not able to be here. He's getting ready for the Super Bowl. Again, we've all mispronounced things. So this is not like...
We were just talking about Fromber versus Framber Valdez.
Exactly. But on that stage, nationally televised, your one job and why you're there is to present the one award. You got to know how to say the coach's name. you just do. Like, oh, that's embarrassing. I felt bad for her.
So
almost.
She doesn't... But this is the problem with like the cross-section of entertainment and sports occasionally is... You want entertainers there, right? It's the NFL. We're big money. We want a star. We want Tiffany Haddish.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know who Mike Vrabel is at all. So she stands up there on a stage. When they have people announce Grammys or people announce Academy Awards, they've heard of these people. They work in the same field. Like, have Peyton Manning announce Coach of the Year. He'll know who Mike Vrabel is. Or... just make sure Tiffany Haddish knows that it's not Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I like having the different celebrities announce it, but she just got to know the name. Like, and then we're not going to play the audio of it. And then Drewski decided to like overtake JSN Offensive Player of the Year, and then unfortunately, like that kind of like got glossed over because Drewski's out here trying to be funny. It wasn't even that funny. And then we're not going to play the audio of what he said, but some of you know, that was bizarre. Barry Sanders was presenting with him. Barry Sanders looked very uncomfortable at the end with how the final bit of the award announcement went.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame you. Like, I don't know. The NFL Honors, and did you watch much? I didn't watch any of it live.
I watched the last half hour of it or so. I was at a buddy of mine's birthday last night, so we were out. And so I didn't watch the first hour and a half or whatever it was. I watched the back half, so I think I saw Walter Payton Man of the Year, of course, went to Bobby Wagner. That was a pretty cool moment. That's always one of the premier awards, or the premier award of the night too. But I don't think anybody got snubbed by any, like, no real surprises. The only part that was awkward and weird. So initially it was kind of cool. They had family members for Defensive Player of the Year. They had the family members up there, and for Offensive Player of the Year, or Rookie, I'm sorry. Yeah. Offensive Rookie and Defensive Rookie. They had family members, you know, say something nice basically about their family member.
Which means they all knew.
So they're up there, and then they have the Microsoft Surface tablet. They swipe and it tells them who won. And so it's pretty cool that they had that moment. But then did you guys see that Tyler Shuck's dad had the tablet, and he had to announce that Tet McMillan won the award? Now, Cleveland's linebacker won the award, and it was his dad that got to say his son won. So I thought, oh, that's planned, but I didn't realize maybe it wasn't, because why wouldn't they just have Tet McMillan's representative announce it? How awkward is that? The dad of one of the nominees had to say the other guy. That's
kind of
weird.
Maybe they already knew, so it was slightly less awkward. Because if Matt Stafford knew he won the MVP, and he clearly did based on the audio of his kids and stuff, well, don't you tell everybody whether they win or lose? Otherwise, that's just twisting the knife unnecessarily. Everybody who wins knows that they've already won, but you make all the losers show up and fly out there and not even warn them that they're getting ready to get disappointed on stage?
I'm saying that I don't think offense, even though Tet McMillan was the heavy favorite, I don't think Tet McMillan knew he had won yet.
Yeah,
but they had, in one Tyler case, Shucks, the winner, yeah. the winner's dad announced his son. In this case, it was the father of someone that didn't win having to hand the award to the other guy. I don't know. I thought that was weird. Why not just have Tet McMillan's dad or whoever was representing him?
I don't know. It just seemed like an odd choice. But they had a lot of weird moments. The Verbal, the Drewski, that.
Verbal.
It's a weird combination of things. And then I didn't win my bet. Officially threw it in the trash.
You threw away that money back in August, man. That money was gone in August.
Guess what? If we're in Vegas in August again this year,
I'll be betting on Josh Simmons. I'll tell you that.
I want you to know that I'm betting on Creed again.
I will bet on Protector of the Year. My bet will be Josh Simmons.
Every year I'm betting on Creed Humphrey to win Protector of the Year until he wins.
Every year.
He's winning it eventually.
He probably will. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just going to up the amount. This year I might bet $100, $50. I'll bet way more than I did this year. He's winning. If they win 14 games next year, Creed Humphrey's winning Protector of the Year. My whole bet on Creed Humphrey for Protector of the Year is how far do I think they're going to go in the regular season.
Right, right.
That's my whole bet, because they'll be chomping at the bit to give the award to that guy.
But if Josh Simmons is an all-pro, look out.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true. If you get two Chiefs running up against it, they probably give it
to the second. And the tackle gets the edge. More important position.
Well, I don't know, man. Guard won the first one. We got to see how this thing plays out over time.
I understand.
Right now, we have a one-year sample size, so we don't actually know how they're going to vote.
But you would agree, typically, like Joe Tooney's case, again, this is why I wonder if it's just going to become name recognition more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, with this award versus, like, gold, we're talking about, like, for MVP, you should probably choose a quarterback who's going to win their division. Doesn't work out that way every year. This year, for instance, Matt Stafford didn't win his division. But most of the years, it's going to work out that way. For Protector of the Year, we have no sample size. And it's all done by offensive linemen, and I don't think they're all going to just want to be like the tackle every year. I think because they didn't have this award for so long, the first 3 to 5 years are going to be less tackles. It might settle into tackle heavy, but maybe not right away.
Someone says, well, Holmes qualify for comeback player of the year next year. Yeah, he'll have some of the best odds to be comeback player of the year. I don't know if he'll win it, but he absolutely. There's some other guys in the mix, but yeah, he'll have a great chance to win it.
Comeback player of the year, I actually have changed my mind. They should just get rid of that award because it doesn't make any sense. Patrick Mahomes played the entire season. So he's coming back from an injury, and I still think it's more important.
He didn't play the entire season.
He played a good chunk, 14 games.
Yeah, I'm saying he's not going to be the favorite, but he'll have good odds to win it.
I'm just saying he played a long enough part of the season.
You're saying he should. If he missed the year, or if he missed over half the season, then
it's the same thing as like coming back
from
being bad.
What's the cutoff for you then?
Half the season.
Okay, because there's got to be one then.
But that's the reason why I'd get rid of it, because I'd still argue, and I'm like the only person, that coming back from being an awful football player is harder than coming back from ACL.
Yeah, we're on the opposite end. I don't think Joe Flacco should have been able to win the award a couple years ago. He was sitting, his ass was on the couch, like, come back from just not being in the league.
I think that's harder than coming back from an ACL, though.
Oh, see,
its premise.
I think that's tough for any of us to answer. I would argue, talk to an NFL player that had to go through rehab for their ACL and come back and play at a high level. I would argue, like, that's kind of downplaying the rehab and the work somebody puts in from an ACL injury.
I'm not saying it's not work. It's definitely work. I just think it's also work to, like, not be terrible anymore at football.
All right, up next, we'll get into where the Chiefs could be playing next year. I think we got a little more clarity on that. And is there still a bigger year on the horizon for a Chiefs defensive lineman? We'll get to that right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.